disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please do sit down. At Christmas time, we have the reading of the beginning of John's Gospel, and we hear those words, "In the beginning was the Word," and so on. And now we find ourselves at the end of the chapter. It began very poetically with the incarnation, or the Word of God made flesh. And now we move from poetry into storytelling. And our reading today begins with the words, "the next day," implying something is happening. If you read back in the chapter, it's actually the second time the words "next day" are found. So we're journeying with John the writer through the events of a great week in the ministry of Jesus. Perhaps there are now glimpses here of the final week, which we'll journey through at Easter, which of course comes towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. However it happens, we're near the beginning of a great week, and something amazing is about to happen. Because the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a savior, and they've been waiting for a long time. And the first mention of a Messiah in the Bible comes in the book of Genesis. But you've got to look quite carefully to find it. Could you put the first slide up on, please? We're going to go right to the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is God speaking to a snake. And God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." There we go. There's an allusion there. The first mention of Jesus, right at the beginning of the Bible, it's there. It indicates a saviour who's going to challenge evil, striking the head. But that saviour, in turn, would be challenged. You will strike his heel. That's pointing towards the crucifixion. So imagine the reaction of those two disciples when John the Baptist, their teacher, points towards Jesus and says, "Look, there is the Son of God. Here's the Lamb of God. Here, right in front of you, my disciples, is the Messiah you've been looking for." And the Gospel says that up until this time, these two disciples have been followers of John. And now they follow Jesus instead. That's not saying that John isn't valid or that they've been following the wrong teacher. Instead, John points the way to Jesus. That's the whole purpose of who John the Baptist was. He pointed the way to Jesus. And John the Baptist must have been so delighted that these two disciples of his understood and they followed Jesus. And those disciples themselves must have been overjoyed. Here's the message of the prophets of hundreds of years ago come true right in front of them. Here's the Lamb of God. Here's the Messiah right in front of them. Wow! At long last, they've got to go. They've got to go and follow him. And as they follow him, the extraordinary events of this week start to unfold. John's Gospel tells us that it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's very precise. That gives us a clue that the writer of this Gospel might have been an eyewitness. He would have seen firsthand what was going on. So Andrew and an unnamed disciple graduate from being disciples of John the Baptist and they start following Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew does is tell his brother Peter about this Messiah. So Peter comes along too to meet this Messiah and find out for himself what's going on. What must have been going through Peter's mind? Was his brother mad? Or were these prophecies about to come true? And as soon as Peter gets in front of this Messiah, he's told he's going to have a new name. He's going to be Cephas. And Cephas, in Greek, translates as rock man. And this could be a looking forward to the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter becomes the driving force in the movement of the early Christian church. Here is a rock man. And if we look around this church, there are rock people here this morning. Perhaps there are people here in this church today who've never thought about being rock people, people on whom the church can continue to be built. But another night passes, and the ministry of Jesus and his disciples really begins. Philip joins the group, and so does Nathanael. And you might think of Nathanael being a bit of a doubting Thomas. He says those words, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can the promised Messiah really be found in a small, insignificant town instead of a fine palace where you would expect to find the Saviour of the world?" A few years ago, I used to be the vicar of several small villages in rural Norfolk. And two of these villages were next door neighbours, Beatley and East Bilney. They used to be two separate communities, two separate parishes. But in 1935, so nearly 100 years ago, they were joined together as one parish instead of two. And the inhabitants of these two villages hated each other's guts because of that. If there was something happening in the church in one village, then the inhabitants of the other village wouldn't go to that event, and vice versa. And it went on and on. It's still happening today. Generations of families who weren't even there have been absorbed into the conflict. One village would deride the other because it was never good enough. They always felt that they were better. It's a bit like Nathanael's disdain of the small town of Nazareth. But Philip comes back at Nathanael's disdain with the words, "Come and see." He's saying, "Come on, Nathanael, come with me and see who's come from Nazareth. If you dare to come along with me, Nathanael, I'm going to show you that it's all true. I'm going to show you something different. I'm going to show you, Nathanael, that even from a small, out-of-the-way, rural backwater like Nazareth, something absolutely amazing can happen. Just come down off your high horse, Nathanael. Just leave your skepticism behind, Nathanael. Stop being so arrogant, Nathanael, and just come and follow me," he says. And Nathanael goes. And as soon as he's in front of Jesus, the penny drops. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God," he says. He acknowledges Jesus for who he truly is. And Jesus assures him gently, "Come with me, Nathanael. Come with me, and I'll show you truly great things, truly special things, truly holy things. Nathanael, because you're my follower, you're going to be privileged to see in me the one true mediator between God and humanity. Nathanael," Jesus says, "in me, you're going to see God in action." And Nathanael would have really understood this. Let's just go back to the book of Genesis, but let's go to a different part. If you put the next slide up on, please. We're about midway through the book of Genesis now. We're in chapter 28 with the story of Jacob's ladder. So this is the dream. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And Jesus has already said to Nathanael, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And Jesus is alluding here to the cross. And the cross would be the vision of heaven opened and God's redeeming act of love shown in Jesus' self-sacrifice of himself for each one of us on that cross. And we don't hear anything more of Nathanael. He was also known as Bartholomew until the end of John's Gospel, when we meet him again with Thomas and Jesus appears after his resurrection. But we have to assume that Nathanael Bartholomew was there throughout the ministry of Jesus, witnessing and testifying to all the wonderful, wonderful things that God was doing. Nathanael saw Jesus and he believed. So truly great things came from Nazareth. Something truly amazing spread out from that backwater that life seemed to have passed by. What if the same was true of Chesterton? Let me rephrase that and make it a statement, not a question. Exactly the same thing that happened in Nazareth can happen in Chesterton. There's no reason at all why it shouldn't. There's absolutely no reason to doubt that God is at work in this community. But perhaps God is at work in ways we haven't yet seen. Jesus saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. In Jewish tradition, the rabbis recommended that a person study the law sitting under their own fig tree. It means literally to study the law at home. And maybe that was what Nathanael was doing, studying the law at home, reading the story of Jacob's ladder, and now he's being called to go outside his home, go outside of his safe place with his studies and see this law being put into action. See Jesus at work and follow him all the way to the cross and beyond. Nathanael sees Jesus and he understands. And the same is true of all of us. It's all very well to be sitting under our fig trees in our safe places and studying or praying. But unless we're prepared to go out there and put that prayer into action, it's going to remain just a prayer. And the Bible tells us this as well. We have the next slide up, please. Now we're in the New Testament in the book of James. Chapter 2, James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We've got faith, but we don't do anything about it. Nothing's going to happen. It's just going to remain a dream. So like Nathanael, we've got to be prepared to stop sitting under the safety of our fig trees and put this faith of ours into action. Nathanael saw Jesus and he saw God at work. What if we were to look at Chesterton with fresh eyes? What if we were to see beyond what is immediately in front of our faces? What if we dared to look beyond the things that make us tempted to give up or just to write Chesterton off as a backwater with no hope and therefore abandon it? Can we really do that? Can we really deride what God wants to make special? Just put the final slide up on, please. If we look around us and we only see rubbish and poverty, then we're not looking the right way. We're not looking with eyes that can see with possibility what is around us. We're only looking at the things that we know are easy to complain about. We don't see that in people in whom we may think there's no hope, there's actually a huge amount of hope to be found. And we haven't found it, or we've written that hope off, because we've become too safe sitting under our fig trees. So I hope this morning you can be encouraged to be rock people. Maybe that is what God is calling you to be. A person on whom God can help to continue to build his church. Because if we're prepared to look and see and turn over rocks to find out what is underneath, then I reckon God is going to show us something amazing. But you may feel like your days as a rock are done. In that case, don't be put off. Instead, encourage those who are looking, those who are still searching. And above all, don't put them off. The more we say how bad things are or how horrible or difficult a place is, the more people are going to be put off. Can you honestly do that? Can you discourage somebody in their ministry, in their searching, in their bringing Jesus to other people? I really hope not. Because if people are going to be put off by the words of others, they're never going to go out there in the first place and put faith into action. Philip encouraged Nathanael with the words, "Come and see." We're called to encourage others with the words, "Go and see." Because God has got a lot of wonderful things for us to uncover together. Can anything good come out of Chesterton? You bet your boots it can. And we're going to go and find it together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.